Colossians chapter 2, please. Colossians chapter 2, if you don't have a Bible, it will be behind you momentarily. We'll start with the obviously the title, then get to the verses. Let's all stand, please, as we read this. I read it out loud. You can read along with me, if you would, silently. By the way, friends, the book of Colossians is like many books in the New Testament. You need to say a whole lot more instead of diving into one verse. I hate to dive into one little passage. For all of you that were here, and that group consisted of about four people in this room, I dealt with this text Thanksgiving weekend, 1995. Now, I don't know what I said then, but I know I said it in this pulpit. That was our first visit back here, Mrs. Warren. I spoke on, you say, how do you remember? I can't remember what I ate yesterday, but I can remember that I preached on this text because this is central. Now, I'm speaking this morning so everyone understands. I'm preaching through Ecclesiastes, but I am not a slave to going through a book verse by verse and never stepping out. I want to remind all of us of something simple. May I do that? By the way, when you get done today, you're going to think, well, I could have said all of that. And I will be very happy if you live all of it. It's so simple this morning. I'm going to speak, big title, Supremacy of Christ. Let's get past that big title. It's all about Him. I said it's all about Him. I said it's all about Him. That's the only thing I'm going to say this morning. You'll figure out why as we work through the text this morning. Verse 3, in whom are hid all the treasures, meaning in Christ, are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. The key verses are verse 6 and 7. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. Boy, that's a lot of words. You have received the Messiah. His human name was Jesus. And He is the Lord. You know, Old Testament, Yahweh, He is God. For the first time in the book of Colossians, you have a command. This is the first command. So walk ye in Him. Everyone look at me. How you get saved is how you continue the Christian life. These are not two separate categories. As you received Him, so continue walking in Him. Rooted and built up in Him. And established in the faith as you have been taught. But just because you've been taught doesn't mean we always get it. He goes on to say, abounding therein with thanksgiving, overflowing with thanksgiving. To Him, by the way. Verse 8, second command in the book. It's negative. Beware, watch out, lest any person, any individual, man or woman, spoil you. That's old English. Spoil means take captive today. By the way, to spoil somebody was you're in a battle. You win the battle, you go take all their stuff. He says, beware lest anybody takes from you and spoils you or brings you captive through philosophy and feigned deceit. After, here it is, the tradition of men. After the rudiments of the world. We'll talk about that in a moment. And not after or according to Christ. Why? Verse 9, he tells you why. For in Him, in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. By the way, Jesus is very God of very God. Why are you looking for something else or something different? Verse 10, and ye, I like old English, all of you are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. Now, friends, in another setting, in another time, we would dive into this deeper than were possible this morning. I know a few things about this setting. I'm going to mention an introduction, Colossians was different than other places. Colossae was a mess. Can I tell you this? Every place you ever live is no friend to the gospel. Makes no difference where you're from. Your place will be the enemy of the gospel in one way or another. It's called culture. A famous book was written 30 years ago now, The Colossian Syncretism, because Colossae had a problem. They like to take a little bit of Christianity and do what? In English, we call it hodgepodge. Just throw all kinds of junk in there, mix it up. If you're a Pinoy, halo halo, mix it up. You know, that was the problem in Colossae. We're going to address that briefly. Look at me. I'm going to come right to the heart because we have young Christians in this room, some newly saved, some I'm not sure if you're saved. And then there's the rest, but all of us pick up in verse in the second part. This is our life. By the way, we sang a song today that dealt with that. I'll go to that song a little later. Let's pray together. Father, help me as I try to share. It's all about Him. And yet, if we're not careful, it's all about other stuff. It's all these other weird things that we drag in from our particular culture. And we drag it in and think we have found Eureka. We have found some gold. We have fool's gold. Because in the New Testament and in the Old Testament, in a different way, it's all about Him. It's not about all that other foolishness. Help me to be able to share these ideas this morning, I ask in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Tom, if you would go back to verse 8, I don't know where it's at, but if you can put that back on the board. Colossae, the city, was syncretistic. In the city, in the area of Galatia, they tended to mix works righteousness, you know, doing good works with grace. Colossae was different. We don't have as much of that here, but the church at Colossae was under attack. The second command in the entire book, the second imperative, is beware, watch out, lest anybody spoil you, which has the idea of conquer you and take from you through philosophy. And by the way, we're not talking Immanuel Kant. We're not discussing academic philosophy, though some of that can lead you astray. He's just simply talking about false ideas that were in Colossae at the time and vain deceit. Otherwise, they're very pleasing. They make you happy, but they're empty. They're vain. He goes on to say, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. I'm going to just begin by saying this. The church at Colossae was under attack. It was under attack from the culture. The culture was seeping in to the church. As cultures always do every place. Now, this is not about anyone in this room, so just take a breather. I used to hear a guy say on a regular basis when he didn't like what I say, he would say to his kids, but we're Filipinos. I don't care what you are. I don't care if you're from the south, from the north, from the east, from the west, from the creek, from the holler, from the backwoods, from downtown Chicago. Culture seeps in, and Christianity and culture don't work well together. It makes a mess. Well, culture was creeping in. By the way, culture, this is how you know. Christ is minimized. Other stuff is maximized. It's just that simple. Christ becomes small. It's not all about Him. And other stuff becomes central. It's about that stuff. There were philosophies, certain ideas in Colossae. There was vain deceit, which means things that are empty, but still things we like to believe and practice. There were the traditions of men. You say, Pastor Warren, we're Baptist. We don't have traditions. If you're human, you have traditions. Some of them are okay. They're neutral. But let me just say this, friend. Traditions can absolutely choke a church to death. And I have nothing in mind other than it doesn't make a difference where you're from. Traditions can dominate. Traditions are always come from the culture. Can I say this? People say, what is your ethnicity? Can I give you the Greek word for my ethnicity? Can I spell it to you in English? M-U-T-T. Some of you don't get the point. I'm a mutt. I'm basically English and German. You say, well, how does that impact you? Well, I believe in drinking all the beer you can because I'm a German. You see how foolish that sounds to me? By the way, Christ changes culture, but the problem is culture keeps dripping in to our what we do. How, and it makes no difference where you're from. It always wants to come in. That was the problem here. Now, they had some very specific things. Look in the look at the text again, please. It talks about this. It talks about the tradition of men. And then I don't have time except to hit it quickly. What was called the rudiments of the world. That is a word. Stoikeo. Look at me, everybody. There's a verb and there's a noun. You see what I'm doing? But it would be better if we had snow. Because stoikeo means this. I did this with my father when I was a little kid. He walked out of the holler we lived in up to the road. And he walked in the snow and I was a little boy trying to stretch out and literally step in his steps. That's what the word verb means, stoikeo, to follow. The noun means this. You do things like ABCs, 1, 2, 3s. You say, how does that affect you? Look at me. We have physical proof from Colossae that Christians, people like you, they had little bracelets. And on their bracelets, they had little magical prayers because the culture was slipping into the church. I can show you if you're interested. I have the book, The Colossian Syncretism. This is an archaeological thing. I'll read it to you in English. When you prayed, how did you pray? Well, you prayed like the culture did. And this is how the culture prayed. Michael, Gabriel, Raphael, Uriel, Jophiel, Zachiel, Gamiel. You ever heard those names? Those are the archangels, and you had to pray, look at me, in a certain order. And then, no joke, they would throw Jesus in there. And oftentimes at the end, they would give a Greek form of the word, mistranslated into the King James, Jehovah, Yahweh, but they put it in Greek. Why? Because how you worship God was through these. You say, where did you get those crazy ideas? Culture. By the way, half of the churches in the world that are Christian are more cultural than they are Christianity. If you go around and listen, you're like, where did you get those? That's nothing to do with Christianity, of course. You get it from the culture. By the way, the most important part of verse 8 after the warning, beware, is the last. It's not after Christ. It's not according to Christ. It's not about Christ. It's not about the Savior. When, look at me, friend. When you're praying to these archangels in a row by thinking, look at me, please, look, thinking you can go down your little beads in the proper order, and God has to hear your prayer, and it's a form of magic. If you just say the right words in the right order, and you don't miss any of the names. Where's Christ at in this? Oh, by the way, Christ was in the prayer. He was typically at the bottom or someplace, because it was more about the order and all these angels. And, oh, I forgot to tell you, they put demons' names in there too. Yeah, it's part of the culture. Well, this morning, we're going to begin at the beginning. Colossians 2:6. As you, ye means you all of you, have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. What does the scripture say? Number one, it starts with, it's about receiving Christ Jesus the Lord. It's not about all of the junk that accumulates around people. We used to have a person come here years ago. Now, the person was a stone-cold drunk, and look at me, and a hard drugger, like LSD kind of drugs. But the woman wore a little doily on her head. You all, by the way, we got too many cultures. Does everybody know what a doily is? It's what you put on a table to put your glass in. It was like embroidery or something. She had that, by the way, as long as she had that on her head in church, she could do drugs, she could get drunk, she could live any way she wanted, because she had the doily. By the way, friend, Christianity starts not with Baptist Church, with him. With him. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord.
Yes.
He assumes that all believers start there. He assumes that if you're not a believer, unless you have personally, at a point in time, received Christ Jesus the Lord. It's Jesus the man, who is obviously more than a man. I mean, chapter 1 is demonstrated. He's definitely, he's the God-man, obviously. He was the Christ or the Messiah. He's the one the whole Old Testament has promised. Who did you receive? You received Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, the promised one, the anointed one who came to give his life for our sins, of course. That's the reason it's so central to us. Obviously, he's the one who died for you and me. Paul says, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." Why? Because it starts with him. John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father." Look at me, friend. The man you're looking at cannot help you. The man you're looking at cannot save you. This building can't save you. We have a baptism here. We'll do a baptism probably in October. We'll do several things in October. But can I say this? None of this saves you. It's about him. It's about receiving Christ Jesus the Lord. It's about coming to grips with our sin. It's about, at a time and place, I receive him. By the way, it also says he's the Lord. Lord is Kyrios in Greek. It is Yahweh in the Old Testament 7,000 times. And most of those times, it's talking about God himself. So you receive the Messiah that came to earth, Jesus the man, more than a man. He's died for you, and he is the Lord of all things. That's who you receive. It's all about him. Starts with him. All people start with him. Now, everyone look at me. People come to church for many reasons. Some people come to church because they feel guilty if they don't. Some people come to church because their parents want them to come to church. That has nothing to do with Christianity. Look at me in the eyes. From over here, this whole crowd, I know many of you. There's no criticism of anybody personally. If you haven't personally received Christ Jesus the Lord yourself, it's just kind of, you're just talking religion. And sooner or later, we'll see you drift away because it's about him. Starts with him. It's all about him. Now, we might use different words. Don't get confused with words. The New Testament uses many words for coming to Christ. It might say repent. It might say believe. It might say have faith. It talks about the new birth. It might say, like this text, receive Christ or welcome Christ. It might say call upon Christ. It might say, some passages, it's using an analogy, drink. Some passages talk about eating. Makes no difference, friend. It's all, you must come to Christ. It starts with him. We sang a song this morning. You want to take your hymn book, 251? 251, please. We just sang it. Is it 251? It's not 251. It's what page is it, Tim? Is it 251? I'm at 351. That's the reason it doesn't look right. Sorry. 251. I had written this. I was ready to preach this, and then we sang this song. Jesus, keep me near the cross. Why would he keep you near the cross? Folks, that's where it begins. It all begins with Christ. It doesn't begin with religion. It begins with Christ. Jesus, keep me near the cross. There's a precious fountain, free to all. A healing stream flows from Calvary's mountain. Now, there's images here, but the idea is it's all about him. Second stanza, near the cross, O trembling soul. Love and mercy, I love this, found me. There the bright and morning star sheds his beams around me. Near the cross, O Lamb of God, bring its scenes before me. Help me walk from day to day with its shadow o'er me. Near the cross, I'll watch and wait, hoping, trusting, ever. till I reach the golden strand just beyond the river. In the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. We're going to read a couple of verses, but let me tell you a story, please. I am, the older I get, the more I realize I can be misunderstood. This is not personal. This is a factual story of a lady I worked with 40 years ago. Worked with a young lady. She was Slovak. Yeah, Slovak. Yes, it was Czech Republic, Moravia, and Slovakia. Her family was from Slovakia. Those are two countries now, but she was Czechoslovakian. She grew up Roman Catholic. I talked to her. What did I talk to her about? Being a Baptist? No, I talked to her about Christ. Because, by the way, Christianity doesn't start with being a Baptist or a Catholic. It starts with Christ. This is what she told me. She said, I grew up praying. She says, I used to pray. I had a saint that I prayed to. Now, here I am. You know, I've been reading the Bible for a couple of weeks. I never learned about praying to saints. She said, I prayed to this saint. And she said, when I was a little kid, this is her language, not mine. She said, Ralph, because I was Ralph then. She said, I was a little kid. We'd pray by my window, and there was a tree right in the back of the house that I saw. I thought I was praying to the tree. Why? Because you're praying to something. By the way, Christianity is not about your saints. By the way, Mary's wonderful. Mary's important, but there's no place in the Bible you pray to Mary. By the way, you don't pray to me. You don't pray to anybody. Everything is about him. It begins with him. Look at the text. Matthew 11. I love this text. The simplicity of it. Jesus looks at a crowd of people. He says, come. By the way, this is the same as believe, receive. It's all the same. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will do what? He doesn't say get baptized. Baptism is important. It's a step of obedience. I got it. But it doesn't do this. By the way, you come unto him. It's all about him. It starts with him. Parallel words. He says, take my yoke upon you. He says, you know what? You're under a burden. You're under a burden. Come to me. Take my yoke upon you. Get rid of that, the burden of your sin. Yeah, you need to follow me. Of course, take my yoke upon you. Then he says, and King James says, learn of me. It means, it's from the word we get disciple from, mathetes. It's the verb form. He says, learn up from me. He says, it's all about me. Come to me, take my yoke upon you, bow before me, and then set under my feet and learn from me. It all starts with him. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, everyone. For by grace are you saved. Meaning there is nothing you can do to save yourself. There's nothing, you can't pay anything, you can't do anything, you can't be good enough. He says, far by grace, what God does through faith, you simply receive it. And then he has this powerful phrase, and that not of yourself. It's not something good in you, uk ex humon. It's not something in you that God looks and says, man, I couldn't do without Ralph Warren. There's nothing in me. Faith, there's nothing in me, nothing. By the way, get both knots, not Billy Baptist, only get one of them. There's two of them. It's not only not of works, it's also, look at me. There is nothing in you that could ever help save yourself. Only Christ can save. For by grace are you saved, through faith. It's not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Well, we go to the second concept. Back to verse 6. Now, Christian, I'm going to pretend now from this point on that everybody's a Christian. I do not know that. But I would preach this text, and this is the most important thing I could say on this day outside of the gospel that you will ever hear. But it's in the passage. Read what it says. Colossians 2, 6. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. You say, what does that mean? Number two, it starts with him, and it what? This is what people want to do. And I'm going to get, by the way, I'm going to get down into the weeds now. Look at me. I'm going to get down beneath the weeds now. We do this. Some people get saved properly. The moment they get saved, somebody comes along. By the way, the moment you get saved, if you work someplace, people are going to come out of the woodwork to sell you their religion. Can I say that again? The moment you get saved and people know you're a Christian, people are going to come out of the woodwork to help you with your Christian life. And they're going to say, well, that's wonderful, but you need to get baptized in our church. That's wonderful, but you need a doily on your head. That's wonderful, but oh my goodness, the nonsense that I've heard. By the way, friends, it starts with him. Continues, why? Because as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, you just walk forward. It's the same thing. By the way, you heard the gospel, you hear the word of God. You prayed for salvation. Once you're saved, you continue walking the same way. You hear the scripture, you pray to be obedient, you obey the scripture. It's all the same process because it never leaves him. Can I say this? I see people all over the world, beads, and I'm like, where's Jesus in all this? Well, Jesus isn't part of it. That's the problem. It didn't start that way with many people. It doesn't continue. By the way, it's all about him. It starts with him. It continues with him. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk you in him. Every pastor gets nervous. The moment an individual, by the way, I won't mention any names, but there are several people in this room that are either newly saved or very close. Trust me, the moment you get saved, people come out of the woodwork to tell you what you really need. Look at me, other than a relationship with Jesus. Can I say it another way? Jesus is just not enough. Hello? Jesus, you just need, yeah, that's not, so you're going to get things. I have it in your notes, but I'm going to continue the verse. As you have received him, so continue. Walk. Walk is very normal. Now, I don't remember my daughter, her first steps. I don't know when you have kids, is the first child get all the attention in the second and third? If it's five, you don't even care about the fifth one. I don't know. Is that true? I don't know. My grandmother had 12, so I don't know. But I remember John walking. You're praying. By the way, what's the most important thing? That you are the person there when they walk first. And you know, I don't know, all kids are different. Some kids crawl, some kids scoot, some stand up and hold on to things and move around. And then finally, here it is. They stand up and they walk like I do right now, by the way. They walk like this. About three steps and the kid looks around and realizes they've just walked, and what do they do then? They fall on their backside. They're like, you're so happy. They're walking. By the way, most kids walk, you know, but you think you're the first. Your child was the first child that ever walked on planet Earth, you know. Well, you say, what's your point? You know how common walking is? Look at me in the eyes. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. It's the same thing. By the way, folks, there was a point in time. I don't know when it is. You come to Christ. You get saved. Maybe you're a kid. Maybe you're an adult. Who knows? Whenever you receive Christ, trust Christ, believe in Christ, have faith in Christ, repent, turn to Christ, all of that. Then you, here it is. Look at me. Pastor Warren, that's nice, but that's not enough. Wait a minute. You're telling me the Son of God, the God of the universe, saved you? And that's not enough to walk with him? You know, the one that you heard the gospel from, that he loved you and gave himself for you, and you trusted him for eternal life. It's like, yeah, but I need something else. What are you looking for? You say, I need something that makes my hair stand on end. By the way, folks, I only got four hairs left. I want them in place, okay? Come on. But that's what we do. By the way, walking, it's day to day. It's day by day. I walk with him, I walk in him, I walk before him. He is my Lord. I listen to him in the morning. I hear his word. By the way, I like two times a day for me at minimum. I like to hear a little bit in the morning because in the morning I'm never awake. I like to hear a little bit of the scripture in the morning. I like to hear more of the scripture at night. I like to pick up on pieces through the day. You say, what do? You just walk with the Lord. You hear him. You walk with him. You read the scripture or you hear the scripture. You pray. You obey day to day. Yes, walking. But then bizarre stuff happens. All right. By the way, is the verse still behind me? Tom, can you go back to the verse, please, and the point? This is not Pastor Warren's good ideas. I told you I'm going down into the weeds from experience. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, you say, Pastor, I want to run. I want to fly. That's your problem, because the way the Christian life works is this. It's every day. You get up. You got the word, either in this form or in electronics. I don't care what form, or you can have it where you listen to it. You start with the word, because just like you got saved, you heard the word. You hear the word of God. You pray. You walk with the Lord. You talk with the Lord. You spend time. Well, you say, Pastor, I want something else. All right. 1976, I'm coming back from, this is Greek for some of you not Navy people, I'm coming back from the chow hall. They called it food. I think dog chow was actually closer. I'm coming back from chow. I'm in a barracks, one floor, and you enter the barracks with a door like over there. I cannot remember. There had to have been a door over there too, but I don't remember it. There were windows to the street. It was an open area. It was like this, except much smaller, rectangular. I entered over there. There was probably enough room for round tables, maybe three or four round tables in two sets. And over in the corner was a young man. I looked up. By the way, I try to be nice to people. I looked over at this young man. I knew what he was doing. Because in those days in the Navy and the barracks, we had a little place for stuff. They put a Gideon's Bible, not a New Testament, a Bible in there. He was reading a Gideon's Bible. What did I do, Cliff? What do you think I did when I saw him reading that Gideon's Bible? I went over and talked to him. Found out his name was Larry. I talked to him for a little bit. I quickly realized he was under a crisis and he was not saved. By the way, he hadn't started the process. It starts with him. It continues with him. He hadn't started yet. We talked. I had a good time with him. He and I went out to eat a couple times. I invited him to church. Short story long. Larry got saved. Got baptized in our little church, Trinity Baptist Church. By the way, it's the best time of my entire life, personally. Eight guys, males, men, got saved in 2 weeks and joined our church in Rockville. In Rockville, Maryland, that church was 25 people, and I added 8 people in 2 weeks. The pastor said, I think I'll let you teach the Sunday school. I didn't know how to teach. I started teaching. Larry was a good guy. Oh, I remember the day he got baptized. I was so happy. The pastor's son got, our daughter got baptized the same day. I was so happy. He got saved. It begins with, continues with. He started following the Lord. He'd come to Sunday school. He'd come to church with me. We played softball together. We had a great time. And then it happened. By the way, remember, this is not a personal thing. This is a fact. This is what happened to me. A Pentecostal came along. We're very happy that you're saved. But now, you need something other than Jesus. And your relationship with Jesus. By the way, read the text. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, even so walk ye, all of you. You have to get the, you have to, and by the way, went on and on. So poor Larry, he's a young guy. By the way, he's 18, 19 years old. He's in a small school there at Bethesda. I'm in the long school. He's going to school. He's a nice guy. He's coming to our church. And some Pentecostal told him he needed to get baptized with the Holy Ghost. He didn't know what that meant. He went to their church, got all confused, came back and forth to our church. Now it gets tougher. Take a deeper breath. Remember, I'm talking what I experienced, not your religion. Then hell came to Larry's house. Somebody came to him and said, You can't go to that white church. You need to go to a black. I didn't tell you who is black, did I? Oh, sorry. You can't go to that white church. You need to go to a black church. And by this time, poor Larry was just like somebody hit him in the head with a baseball bat. He didn't know his name. Now, folks, are you guys ready? Would you take a third breath? I grew up in southwestern Illinois. In the 1830s, Silas Hamilton started a school, the first free school in the United States, or the second, where everybody, including blacks, could come. They started the Baptist Church in Otterville, Illinois, that had black people in it. I grew up with black people in the country churches where I did not know there were black churches. And where I didn't ever hear of that kind of racism. This is my problem. My friend got saved, started down a path, and somebody came in and said, well, you need something other than Jesus. No, you don't. You need a relationship with Jesus every day of your life, and you just follow along, and you just keep on the path. Some of you are a little nervous now, aren't you? You thought the first racism. Come on, folks. I've experienced racism my whole life. Stupidity, black church. What is that? They call this a white church. Look around. We're very white in here. Racist idiots. By the way, here's the big problem. I love Larry. Larry, just like somebody knocked him out. When I left Bethesda and came here in December of 77, I don't know whatever happened to Larry. Then I had another friend, not anywhere close as Larry, guy I witnessed to at Paris Island before this. Don't remember his name. I witnessed this guy over and over. He'd make fun of me. He would lie. He did everything. After I moved to Bethesda, he wrote me a letter and he said, Ralph, I love this language. He says, I got saved, sanctified, baptized in the Holy Ghost, and baptized with fire. And here's my question. And what do any of those have to do with? Nothing. But they sound good because you have a miracle now. No, you're being led astray. I'm going to come to those. It starts with him. Let's go ahead and do that, Tom. If you go to the next little section there, it starts with him. And people say, oh, that's nice. I'm glad you know Jesus. But now you need to come to my group and get what we have. My friend, if it's anything other, please look at me. If it's anything other than a simple relationship with the Savior who saved you that you walk with day by day by day, it has nothing to do with Christianity. It's tradition, religion, and a whole bunch of things. Hodgepodge, hollow, hollow, whatever your language is. I don't know the phrase in Spanish. Do you have a hymn book? Turn to page 269. I don't like everything about this song. It can be too sentimental and a little bit weepy, like it's special about you. But in one sense, the author is spot on. 269. I come to the garden alone. Yeah, because how did you get saved? Alone. Personally. While the dew is still on the rose. Now, some of that's too sentimental. You know, there don't have to be roses and there doesn't have to be dew. You understand? The point being is you come to the garden to be with the Lord. And the voice I hear, where do you hear the voice from? From the scripture. Falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And he walks with me. And he talks with me. No, do you say, Pastor, do you ever? Ralph. The only time I ever hear that name is when my wife's mad at me. No. Well, no, my mom never calls me Ralph. Ralph Lee? I know mom's trying to get my attention. By the way, don't be weird here, folks. I hear the Lord's voice every day. It's called the Bible. John MacArthur went to be with the Lord recently. By the way, his two statements are the best ever. If you want to hear God, read the Bible. If you want to hear God speak out loud, read it out loud. That's how we learn. By the way, I like this song, but it can be a little goofy here. But I like, he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me, yes, he assures me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there. And the last line's a little over the top because all of God's people share in the joy. He speaks and the sound of his voice is so sweet, just like the day I got saved. You start with him, you continue with him. Of course. He speaks and the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing. And by the way, not every day is this true. Some days it's a struggle to read and hear God from the scripture. Some days it's easy. Some days it's so spectacular that I don't want to stop. And some days it's like grinding up something. It's hard. Yes. I'm not going to read any more of the song for time. I say behind me. For some people, it starts like this. Okay, here you are. You're a person, either you just got saved or you know you need to get saved. Look at me. Somebody comes along and says, well, I'm glad you know Jesus, but Jesus is not enough. You also need to do whatever the work, by the way, whatever the kind of works are. No. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. Then the next group comes along and says, ah, yeah, it's nice. We're so happy you have Jesus, but you don't have enough. You need what we have at our group. By the way, how could you have more than Jesus? If Jesus is the very Son of God, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the heap, everything bows before him. What else could you have besides him? Well, I'm going to prove to you that there is nothing. But I got to give one more story. Remember I told you I was going into the weeds, yes? We had a guy visit this church years ago. He is what I call a locust. Sorry, I'm a farm boy. Locusts come and what do? They eat, destroy, and leave. He'd been in 400 churches, I think. He just kind of moved around as a locust. Always, but never. He was the weirdest duck I ever met. After he left here, are you guys ready? He came to a new group of locusts. And he decided in order to be saved, you needed to keep the Old Testament Sabbath. Now, he didn't know it's not Sabbath, it's Shabbat. And he didn't know anything about Baruch Shabbat, you know, bless the Sabbath. He didn't know any Hebrew. He discovered to really have it. Yeah, Jesus is okay, but you need the Sabbath. And then later on, are you ready? Baby, you already know people like this. He discovered that Jesus' name wasn't Jesus. He discovered it's Yeshua. I hate to inform all of the ignorant people that say that. That name was never called of Jesus in any place that was ever written down. Jesus was called Jesus in Greek. By the way, he's called Jesus in English. Excuse me. Take a breather. In the 1700s in America, it used to be called Jesus in English too. In Spanish, it's Jesus. What's the difference? None. This guy just went as a locust. He always needed something else, so he really had it. No, you don't really have it. Well, let's look at these texts, please. Can I say this, friend? There's so many stupid ideas floating around. I wouldn't have time to share them with you if I was 100 years old. When I heard somebody say, Jesus' real name, look at me. Jesus' real name repeated hundreds of times in the New Testament because it was written in the language of that whole part of the world was Jesus. Shut up with the Yeshua stuff. Maybe that's how his name sounded in Hebrew. Maybe. We have nothing written like that. It's all written in Greek. So Paul didn't go into Greece and say, you need to know a magic name. Can I say this? If your name is John, do we have any Johns in here? Raise your hand. Any Johns? We have a John. Hi, John. By the way, I could call John Sean, Irish. I could call him Johann, German. I could call him Giovanni, Italian. Yes or no? Still John, yes? I think we could probably call him, maybe you know these or you don't, Hans. A lot of the Scandinavian countries use Hans or John, J-A-N. Danish uses Jens. Janos is Hungarian. Ivan is Russian. And some Mexicans use the name Ivan, but that means John. Oh, can I tell you the secret name? Really? They're all the same name. Don't be caught up in stupidity. I'll just say this, and we're going to read the most precious text in the Bible. And I can't say any more because this is where God himself slugged you with a sledgehammer. The first group says it's okay to start with him, but you need more than Jesus to be saved. The second group says it's okay to start with him, but you need something else. You need to surrender. You need to be slain in the spirit. You need to give all of the stuff that you do. No, you start with him, You continue with him. It's all about him. Colossians 2, verse 3. In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. He says, I'm saying this. Everything is found in Jesus. Colossians 2, verse 9 and 10. I'm going to focus on the Greek phrase of this. Please don't be offended deeply, but I have to. It adds a line, it adds a layer. The King James says, for in him dwelleth all the pleroma, the fullness. When you look at Jesus, look at me. When you look at Jesus, everything God is, he is. He is the pleroma, ta pleroma, the fullness of God. Verse 10, please. In verse 10, he says this, and you are ye, all of you, Christians, if you're saved, and ye are, the King James says appropriately, complete. But that's just the participle, a verbal part, from the same word, pleroma. It's a verbal form. It says, let me say it in a different way. Look at me, everybody. You can see it right back here. For in him, all the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily. And all of you are filled up in him. There is nothing else you need. It's just Christ. Christ and Christ alone. That's all there is. Well, we come now to verse 6 and 7. I'll do this quickly. I've said it's all about him. Starts with him, continues with him. Verse 6, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk you in him. Rooted. You understand the concept of a root. If a tree has deep roots and the weather turns bad, the tree stands. If the tree has no roots, the tree collapses. We're rooted and we're built up. What's it say? What? Of course, we're rooted and built up in him and established in the truth, or in the faith, excuse me, in the faith as you have been taught. Number 3, it deepens with him. You say, are you the same place you were when you were 19? Folks, look at me. I was a member of this church almost 1978, a couple weeks before that. How old was I at that time? I was old enough, 20, almost 21. Look at me. Am I a different person than now? Well, of course. Why? Because I'm special? No. Because I receive the anointing. Don't get mad. 1 John 2, twice, clear chrisma, every Christian is anointed. That happened when you got saved. So yeah, I received the anointing, so did you. I received it in him, of course. Yes. Am I different than I was now? Yes, because I've been walking with the Lord for a couple of weeks now. Listening, reading. Sometimes obeying, sometimes being forced to obey as I move forward. And as the process goes, you start getting deeper and deeper and deeper roots. But the roots aren't in something else. The roots are in that relationship that you have with the Lord. It's him. Starts with him. It continues with him. It deepens with him. Now, roots, it also talks about built, kind of the idea of building a foundation. And it also uses the concept of what? Uses the concept of established or established. So we are rooted like deep roots, built up like a great foundation. Established, but we're established in him, or in the faith, or in the truth. Or because you can't talk about Jesus without talking about the truth, obviously. All right. Well, quick. 1977. By the way, did I tell you this is not a joke sermon? Please look up here. This is my life. I got astray. I bought a book that was recommended. I cannot tell you who recommended it. It's the worst book I ever read. It did more damage to my Christian life than any book has ever done, period. It was called, and I doubt if you can buy it today, it was called Deeper Experiences of Famous Christians. Here was my problem. When I got saved as a boy, that's where it started. Because it starts with, as I moved forward, it continued with him. I did, you know, once I got in the Navy, got a little bit older, got my head kind of going the right direction, I started growing. But somewhere in about 1977, I read this stupid book and I started chasing, look at me in the eyes, something other than him. I wanted this big experience. You know, I was out on my dad's grave and God gave me the par God. You hear this lie so many times. Here's your problem. What does Paul tell them? Starts with him. You've received Christ Jesus the Lord. Even so, walk you in him. It continues with him. And then as you move forward, you're rooted deeper and deeper. You're built on a better foundation. You're established in him. It's always him. Can I say this, folks? I spent weeks. See, I'm trying to tell you truth. Some of you listen, some of you don't. I spent weeks getting up in the middle of the night, going out into the snow and praying for something until I read D. Martin Lloyd-Jones, and he said, it'd be a good day if you stop chasing it. Stop the it. All of those religious things are about it. There is no it. There's only him. You say, how do I become established? Walking with the Lord for the next 10 years, you'll find your roots are pretty deep. You'll find you have a pretty good foundation. You'll find that you're pretty established. Or you can chase experiences until you're blue in the face. I'm going to give you, before I go to the last point, my 68 years of experiences. Are you ready? Remember the text. Starts with him, continues with him, deepens with him. Yes? Here's Pastor Warren, 68 years. This is my experience I want to share with you. I found out that I needed Jesus to save me. I couldn't save myself. Along the way, I found out that I still need Jesus every day to keep me, to hold me, to love me, to help me, to steady me, to strengthen me, to guide me, to lead me, to assist me, to teach me. I continue with him. And along the road, I need Jesus to deepen me into a better Christian for service. Lastly, verse 6 and 7. We're just only talking about two verses primarily. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. That's where it begins in him. Begins with him. Even so walk you in him. It continues with him. It deepens with him. We're rooted. We're built up like a foundation. We're established as you have been taught. So it's him, the faith, the truth. And lastly, it ends with him. It all ends with him, but not in the way that you might read this at first. I'm not talking about end meaning a termination or a conclusion. I'm talking about, look, everybody look at me. You know if you got the Christian life right. You know if you got the Christian life right. Because back at the beginning, look here, it started with him. You and him, salvation. You know it's right because as you move forward, you're walking with him. You're talking with him. Prayer. You're with other Christians. They're encouraging you. You're meditating. You're singing. You're moving along. And as you move forward, you start digging. The roots get deeper and deeper in him. In him. In him. But it ends with him. You say, what do you mean by ends? I'm not talking about it terminates. I'm talking about the purpose or the goal of it all. Well, look at the text. Your life changes. Abounding therein with what? With what? I say this in the notes. End is not termination or conclusion. It's the goal or the purpose, meaning it all comes back to him. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Isaiah says, I am the Lord. That is my name. And my glory will I not give to another. Neither my praise to graven images. Friends, if I died tomorrow, besides of my testimony being Christ and Christ crucified and Christ alone, the whole way, I care nothing for ever talking to you about some experience I have. Because if it starts with him, continues with him, deepens with him, it all comes back to the one that has saved you, kept you, taught you, held your hand, been there for you in the worst times. And by the way, in one day when you cross to the other side, he will be with you, of course. Isaiah 43:21. This people have I formed for myself. They shall sow forth my praise. Isaiah 43:7, even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. Isaiah 48:11, for my own sake, even for my own sake will I do it. For how should my name be polluted? And I will not give my glory to another. Everyone look at me, and we're finished this morning. Look at me. Are you with me? This is Christianity. There are no other options. Pastors talking about themselves and their experiences. The glory goes to. But see, Christianity starts with him, continues with him, it deepens with him, and it comes back to him because it's all about him. Let's pray. Father, help us to have heard the simplicity of a beautiful text. We could have preached on Colossians 1 in much more theological territory, but the text concludes in verse 18, that in all things he might have the preeminence. It is amazing the nonsense we fall into. Help us this morning to come back to the simplicity of the Christian faith. Colossae was far afield. No longer were they following the one that saved them. They were off into magic and all kinds of silliness. Many people are into such bizarre things, it's hard for them to even figure out that's not Christianity. That God might not be interested in us being wealthy. That his primary purpose on earth might not be to make us multimillionaires. Maybe he wants us to glorify him. Help us this morning, I ask, in Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand, please.